Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, plus those who are hate listening to the program this evening, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show indeed. That's right, it's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights at 7 p.m, when the Troy Murphy Show graces the two of us our bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m, covering the serious news that broke during the week, along with the weird, wacky, wonderful news that we all get a giggle out of. There will be opinions to be shared, celebrities stop by for a chat, well, not this week, but sometimes they do, and people far smarter than I join us to talk topics that need expert analysis. Although, no guests this week for some strange reason. Anyway, we'll take a look at what's happening around the Sutherland Shire, of course, as well as find out what happened in local news. And the Troy Murphy Show house band are in the studio for jingles that will get stuck in your head. A big thank you to BJ and Grossi, plus the one and only, the legendary Gossip Girl, for kicking off Thursday Drive as we now enter into TSR After Dark. On the show this evening, political correctness gone mad, as the Mayor of London has banned his staff from using the words male and female. We've got a game that you can play on the show this evening. It's a new segment. It's called Guess That Song, where the Troy Murphy Show house band earn their money and play a layer of a pop song at a time. Like drums first, and then drums and percussion, and then drums, percussion and bass, to see if you playing along at home can guess the song before it's revealed. It's a good game. I can't wait to that. We play that game. It's going to be fun. Stick around for that for sure. I will also talk about the latest victim of the cost of living crisis, the devastating poll on the Voice to Parliament, and how non-alcoholic beer is growing in popularity among Australians and alcoholic beer is declining, and who we can finger point that blame at. Plus so much more. But first, I tell you what, 1 week and 1 day since testing negative to COVID after having it for over a week, I am still struggling. This was the first time I had COVID. I avoided it for 3 years and then I got it. And so, well, I apologize now in advance. I am having bouts of being in and out of brain fog. Luckily right now I'm out of brain fog and I'm focused, but my voice has still not recovered. So apologies for the voice throughout the evening. But I tell you what, you know, you're watching all these people being haphazard about COVID. I'd never want to get it again. I was so sick and I'm still unwell. My latest trick at the moment is I wake up at you know, 6:30 in the morning, bright, fresh start to the day. I do things around the apartment for about an hour, come 7:30. Oh, you know what? Could just do with a bit of a lie down. Lay down, fall deep asleep to about 10:30 in the morning. It is crazy. It is crazy. I'm so glad I'm not working at the moment and I'm in between jobs. But with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show. Responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
In Australia, only 13% of people keep fish. 9% of households without a pet and 17% with a pet are interested in keeping fish. The three reasons they don't keep fish are that they think it is harder, more expensive, and more time consuming than it is. All three reasons are a myth, depending on what setup you choose. A simple tropical setup is actually the easiest and cheapest pet you can get. Pop in and visit us at Majestic Aquariums Tarrant Point, or follow us on our social media and learn how far fish keeping has come in the last few years. Majestic Aquariums are proud sponsors of 2SSR.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
Now for your 2SSR 4-day weather watch.
Tomorrow, Friday, sunny, light winds, tops of 19 degrees. The weekend, we can expect sunshine all weekend long. Both Saturday and Sunday, max temp of 19 degrees and a low of 7 overnight. Monday of next week, mostly sunny, winds west to northwesterly, 15 to 25 kilometres per hour. Top temp of 19 and a low of 7.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Let's kick the Troy Murphy Show off this week with our serious hats on as we take a look at the latest update with COVID-19. Now, a new report, before you roll your eyes, this is actually something quite interesting, because a new report has uncovered the identity of the suspected patient zero of the COVID-19 pandemic. Yep, the very first person in the world to catch COVID-19, marking a potentially significant development in understanding the origins of the virus. The report claims that a scientist named Ben Hu, H-U, along with his colleagues Ping Yu and Yan Zhu, conducted risky experiments on enhanced coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. All three scientists fell ill with symptoms similar to COVID-19 and required hospitalization several weeks before China publicly acknowledged the virus outbreak. Until now, their identities had remained undisclosed. Now, this all came out of a report authored by journalists Michael Schellenberger and Matt Tabi and was published in the Substack newsletter called Pacific, where it reveals that US government officials had identified the three scientists. The suspicion is that they were involved in a, quote, gain-of-function experiment which aimed to enhance the transmissibility of these pathogens in the virus of the bat coronavirus. Now, this theory had long been speculated by experts and intelligence officials as a potential source of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it sounds like those, tinfoil hat wearing people who thought that, they were trying to weaponize a virus, well, might be true. The disclosure of the alleged patient zero is seen as a possible breakthrough, providing additional circumstantial evidence supporting the lab leak hypothesis. However, it does remain unclear which US government officials possess this information, the extent of their knowledge, and the reasons behind their lack of public disclosure. More to be found out on this one, I'm sure. Now, the revelation that Ben Hu's identity had been described as an explosive development by the Australian newspaper journalist and Sky News host Shari Markson, who previously discussed the lab leak theory in 2021. Now, a gentleman by the name of Jamie Metzi, a former member of the World Health Organization Advisory Committee on Human Genome Editing, considers it a potential game changer, stating that it can be, if it can be proven that Hu contracted COVID-19 before anyone else, it would be definitive evidence. Hu was the lead researcher in virologist Shi Zhengli's lab, Shi Zhengli, who is also known as Batwoman, for her research on bat coronaviruses. All the dots are being joined up here. The international team of scientists and investigators known as DRATSIC, dedicated to uncovering the origins of COVID-19, had already researched these three scientists back in 2021. Now, whose biography on the Wuhan Institute of Virology's website indicates that he worked as an assistant researcher and was considered Shi Zhengli's star pupil. Crazy stuff. It continues, according to Shari Markson, Hu was overseeing a state-funded project in 2019 aimed at assessing the potential human infectivity of two new coronaviruses. The study involved enhancing the viruses and testing them on humanized mice. However, the results were never published and the study itself was removed from the internet as the COVID-19 pandemic spread globally, raising suspicions of a potential lab leak. Now, a source cited by The Sun revealed that a 2017 video aired on Chinese state-run TV showed Hu working in the lab without proper protective gear. The same video depicted other Wuhan lab scientists conducting virus-hunting expeditions with insignificant protective measures. No wonder why they caught it and were the first to catch it. Now, Alina Chan, a molecular biologist at MIT and Harvard, so much information with this, drew parallels between Hu and Shi Zhengli, stating that Hu had been conducting risky virus research and was at the highest risk of accidental infection. She emphasized that if this information had been made public in May 2020, the scientific community and media might have shifted their focus from wet market theories. Now, Dr. Stephen Quay, Q-U-A-Y, depending on we say Key, they say Quay in the US, a US scientist expressed his earlier suspicion that Hu was among the infected Wuhan Institute of Virology workers, but considered it too straightforward. Sometimes the simplest answers are indeed correct. However, with the recent report, the names of the three Wuhan scientists might be released next week as the US is set to disclose previously classified materials. And of course, earlier this year, FBI Director Christopher Wray acknowledged that the FBI had been assessing the possibility of a lab incident in Wuhan as the origin of the COVID-19 pandemic starting in China. So much information and plenty more to come from it. Plus, what could the possible consequence of finding out exactly where COVID-19 started? You know, is there a possibility of a global class action against China for letting it spread globally, which of course killed thousands of people and caused catastrophic economic consequence for the planet? Only time will tell. I've got a funny feeling that this might get very, very messy before it's all finalized.
Troy Murphy is the Troy Murphy Show. From the Southland Shire, we hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open door with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under the latest in political correctness gone mad. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, them, they, and all, it is here in the Troy Murphy Show. For those playing along with the bouncy ball of what happens here on the show, where I give and share my opinion. It is, after all, an opinion-based show. It is done so, well, in no way intended to shape or change your opinion. I'm just sharing mine for the entertainment of those who enjoy it. And as always, I'm open to talk about it further with anyone who agrees or disagrees with me. And of course, I always reserve the right to change my opinion in the future should some form of education or further enlightenment take place or I have a stroke and go woke. Now, to pretense what I'm about to talk about... I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm just going to give the pretense of where I stand on this. I'm torn on what I'm about to talk about. On one hand, I see it as progressive and valid. And on the other hand, it's bandwagonistic, tokenistic, and offensive on many points, including taking away from people's biological sex and gender and borderline misogynistic and misandrinistic. I think I pronounced that right. Which is the opposite of misogynistic. Anyway, let me get to the news as we head to the UK for this one. In a surprising or maybe unsurprising move, the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has banned his staff from using the words male and female. Apparently, these terms are now considered dated and medicalized. Instead, and they've published an inclusive guide. This inclusive guide advises referring to female humans as girls and or women and male humans as boys and or men. But not male and female. It's a good thing we cleared all that up for, you know, especially the boys and girls part. Otherwise, you know, with the political correctness score mad, we might have been stuck calling girls non-adult females and men non-adult... Oh, sorry, boys non-adult males. Oh, I'm so confused. So confused. Why do they make it so difficult? But the fun doesn't stop there. The guide also encourages City Hall staff to ditch the traditional greeting of ladies and gentlemen in favour of something more inclusive, because apparently if you use those words, non-binary people will spontaneously combust or disappear into thin air. So from now on, it's hey you people, or perhaps greetings earthlings, just to cover all bases, or as what we do here on the Troy Murphy Show, ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all. Which, you know, started for me as a parody, but has been adopted because
of reality and the reality of the situation. Because I in my other life, I am a puppeteer and a performer, a vocal artist, and one of my characters is a game show host, and he does game shows, and people pay me to create content with this game show, and it's very traditional for a game show, and he's a very hyperactive, over the top, eccentric side of game show, and they do their big opening beginnings, and traditionally it's ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome, but you can't do that nowadays, clearly. So I parried it and did ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all. It's been adopted to this show, and it's just become part of the vernacular because, of political correctness gone mad. Anyway, going back to this article, in their quest for inclusivity, the mayor's office has also enlightened the staff about periods. Yes, apparently not all women have them. So the term people affected by periods should be used instead of referring specifically to women. Now, I suppose this is a groundbreaking revolution for some, but it does raise the question, if someone identifies as a man and still has a period, do they get a gender-neutral subscription to menstruation monthly? How does that work? And, let's be honest, biologically, these people are still, and I shouldn't use these people because that could be offensive in itself, but look, transgender men, biologically born a woman, which means they'll still menstruate monthly. Until they don't, but anyway, it doesn't matter how much testosterone you take to grow a beard and, surgery you have to... What is it when they cut off the mastectomies? Doesn't matter how much, you can't change your biology. So, in the quest for going for inclusive language, which is people who are affected by periods, well, why can't it be women and transgender men who have periods, or transgender people who have periods? I only say this because we have seen so many women coming out, especially on social media platforms, saying that they don't like having their biological self-identity minimalized or removed in the name of inclusiveness, because that's not being inclusive. You're taking away their lived experience, women's lived experience, in order to be inclusive of others. Why not just say women and transgender men or transgender people who have periods? If you want to go for inclusivity, include everyone instead of taking away from the biology of what it is to menstruate. Anyway, of course, this guide has drawn its fair share of criticism. One Tory politician called it absurd, while another warned that it's the kind of nonsense that the UK people can expect if the Labour Party ever gains power nationwide. Oh, UK, just take a look what's happening in the US and down under. You want madness? Just look over the ditch. Now, so let's raise our glass. Let's raise our glass, ladies and gentlemen, them, they, and all, to be inclusive, to the Mayor of London and his office for their valiant efforts to navigate the treacherous waters of political correctness. Who needs straightforward communication when we can tiptoe around every word, worrying about who might be offended? Just remember, if you're ever in London, be sure to address, someone in a friendly, hey you, person way. That should do the trick. Unless, of course, they identify as a dog or a cat. And then calling them a person might be offensive to them. Then what would you call them? It? They? Whatevers? Who knows? In the pursuit of inclusivity, let's hope, my friends, that we don't end up with a language so convoluted that even spelling hello requires a committee meeting and a PhD in linguistics. Hashtag that as rant over.
FM 99.3.
follow The Troy Murphy Show on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
Stick around. Coming up next, it's game time. Yes, game time. We don't do games here on The Troy Murphy Show, nor do we play music, but we're doing it next. It's a new segment on the show we're trying out. It's called Guess That Song. We've got The Troy Murphy Show house band, the Diddly Squats, live in the studio to play a small section of a popular song, revealing new instruments every round. So they'll play the drums first and add some percussion, then some guitar and piano before the song is revealed by singing along to it. It's up to you to guess the song before it's revealed. Do you think you can win? Stay tuned to play along next. But first, attention residents of the Sutherland Shire. It's community service announcement time. Brace yourself for Battle of the Bridges. It's happening Saturday, September 23 at the Sutherland Memorial School of Arts from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And what is the Battle of the Bridges, I hear you ask? Good question. It's an evening of live music from local up-and-coming bands from the Sutherland Shire and Georges River area. The lineup includes our good friends, the Spinning Cupids, Coconuts, The Manic, Pocket Watch, Sun Dryer, and Dollar. That's the Battle of the Bridges, September 23 at the Sutherland Memorial School of Arts from 6 to 9:30 p.m.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
You are listening to The Troy Murphy Show here on 2SSR FM 99.7, the Sutherland Shire's favourite community radio station, because we are the Sutherland Shire's only community radio station, so we win it by default. Anyway, something new here on The Troy Murphy Show. Regular listeners to the show would know that we're a talk-based program, an hour of non-stop talk, but as mentioned in our opener, we do have the Troy Murphy Show house band here in the studio. They do our catchy jingles that I am told people get stuck in their heads all week long, which is a great thing for a jingle because then you remember to listen to the show each week. But we pay the house band, the Diddly Squats, a lot of money to be here each week. So we thought this week we might take advantage of them being here in the studios and introduce a new segment that we are going to call Name That Song. And if I was prepared, I would have had a jingle to go with that, a little sting of some sort. Anyway, it's the first time we're going to give this a go. We'll see how it works. And if it works, well, we'll bring it back. If it doesn't, we'll dump it. That's the nature of radio experimentation. You keep what works and you dump what doesn't. So the way this works is the house band, the Troy Murphy Show house band, the Diddly Squats are here in the studio. And what we've done is we've selected a popular song, a pop culture song. Could be from any era, could be 70s, 60s, 80s, 90s, whatever that period is between 2000 and wherever we are now, 2023. It's a weird thing, the noughties and the 10s and the 20s. Sounds weird, but anyway, that's the reality of it all. It could be a song, a pop culture song from any era. And what we'll do is the house band will play a certain part of the song, and then we'll add to it. So at first, it'll just be the drum kit of the track will play, and or the song will be played by the house band, and then we'll add percussion as a secondary thing, and then bass, and then electric guitar, and then digital piano, and then we'll add the vocals, which will give it away. So that's what the house band will do, and you've got to see how quickly you can guess the track before it is revealed. And of course, you can play along at home by yourself, or you can let us know by hitting us up on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Send us a message when you guess the song, or you can do so on the Troy Murphy Show Twitter or Instagram. All right, are we ready to play? Let's begin. House band, let's play the song, but the drum kit only. Can you guess the song with just the drum kit? Not easy. Not easy at all. All right, house band, let's add some percussion. So let's play the exact same part of the track again, but we'll add percussion to the drum kit. All right, let's hear it. A little bit of snare drum there. Can you guess the song yet? Not easy. 100 points to you if you guess the song by now with just the drum kit and the percussion. Let's add some bass. Thank you, house band. That might give it away for some. I've got to not sing it. I'm so tempted to sing it. All right, if you haven't guessed it yet, let's add some electric guitar. Are you ready? This will probably give it away for most people. Not easy, but not hard either. Let's add some digital piano, please, house band. That's got to give it away. Do you know the song yet? Hit us up on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook, send us a message, or on Twitter or Instagram. Can you guess the song that the Troy Murphy Show house band, the Diddly Squats, are playing? Because, well, if you hasn't guessed it by now, I'm about to reveal what it is, because I'm going to the Diddly Squats are going to add some vocals to the song, which will give it away. Are you ready for it? Did you guess?
If you're lost, you've got to look and you will find me.
Cyndi Lauper.
Time after time.
Time after time.
If you come, I will catch you. I will be waiting. Time after time.
Such a good song. Did you guess? Cyndi Lauper, Time After Time, as part of the Troy Murphy Show's House Band's Guess That Song segment here on the Troy Murphy Show. I don't know, was that entertaining? Was that fun? Should we do it again? Let us know on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search the Troy Murphy Show and let us know. Breaking back with more.
For everything off air, follow The Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Around, because coming up next, we talk a news story. Well, that's what nightmares are made of. Either that or the opening scene of the next Hollywood blockbuster zombie movie. But first, a quick look at the news that broke across the Sutherland Shire this week. Sutherland Shire Police Area Command have issued a humorous warning, but serious, for all young men in the area regarding a potential scam. They advise individuals to be cautious if they receive direct messages from unfamiliar and intriguing social media accounts. The scammers may request explicit photos, particularly of, and I'll quote the Sutherland Shire Police Area Command here, of young men's eggplants, using the eggplant emoji, which we all know what that means. As I interject with personal commentary into this news article, I digress. What happens is scammers then proceed to extort money or gift cards from the victors. Victims after threatening to expose their eggplants on social media. Sutherland Shire Police Area Command further caution against sending money as it's a scam and emphasise the importance of safeguarding personal information and your assets. That's what broke this week in Sutherland Shire local news.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
As you know, we love the weird, wacky, and wonderful news here on the Troy Murphy Show. And this next story that we're about to discuss for your listening pleasure is not only weird, but wacky, and also wonderful, but it's also what nightmares are made of. And I've been back at 2SSR, I think this is my 33rd show back. So whatever that is in how many months, 33 weeks, who knows? I'm terrible at math. But I swear, in 33 weeks, I have done a story like this. This would have to be number 2 or 3. And that amount of time to do stories, 2 different stories about this same next issue, well, it's rather concerning because this sort of stuff shouldn't be happening in today's day and age. Let me read what I've got here from the article. Bella Montoya Castro from Ecuador has had the ultimate plot twist story to her life. After being declared dead at a hospital, she decided to rise from the grave and attend her own funeral. Talk about making an entrance or an exit, whatever it is. Friends and family had gathered to bid farewell to Bella when they heard mysterious thumps coming from inside the coffin. Oh, if the nightmare isn't being buried alive, the nightmare is being at a funeral and hearing bangs on a coffin. Confused, they initially thought it was just the noise of grieving guests, but lo and behold, it was actually the sound of Bella knocking on death's door saying, "Not today, Satan, not today." Amid the chaos, Bella's son, Gibbler, shouted in disbelief, "She's alive!" It turns out his mother wasn't quite ready to shuffle off this mortal coil because she sat up, gasped for air, and promptly stole the spotlight from her own funeral. Oh my goodness, move over, Lazarus, move over indeed. Paramedics quickly arrived to rescue Bella from the clutches of the casket and whisked her away back to hospital, probably the last place you'd want to go because, you know, that's where they declared she was dead in the first place. Oh, the poor woman. Poor woman. Originally being admitted to hospital for having a stroke, but her unsuspected resignation gave everyone else quite the shock. Probably gave other people a stroke. Now the Ecuadorian Ministry of Health is scrambling to figure out what went wrong, and they've formed a medical auditing team to investigate. And I quote, "The supposed confirmation of death." Oops, someone missed the memo that Bella wasn't quite ready to trade her earthly existence for a heavenly one. In that hospital? Not indeed. How do you make that mistake? Oh, dear. As for Bella herself, well, her current condition remains uncertain. Whilst her heart is beating and she has a pulse, the doctors aren't exactly optimistic about her chances of survival. It seems that she's in a real-life cliffhanger at the moment, leaving us all on the edge of our seats. Will she conquer death once again? Or embrace it on her second attempt? Only time will tell. And if she does sadly succumb to her health issues, you hope they get it right second time round, because you'd hate to have a second funeral and for her to wake up again. And do you get a refund on that sort of thing? You know, you've bought the casket, you've booked the time at the chapel, obviously you have to pay for a pastor to do all the speeches and all that sort of stuff, and you know, you've obviously catered for the after party. Do you get a refund on that sort of stuff? I know I shouldn't laugh because it's probably insensitive, but you know, you got to think these funny things through. Well, the biggest thing is move over, zombies. We have a new contender in the Undead Olympics here, Bella Montoya Castro, who's proven that death is no match for her determination. I guess they'll have to update her obituary to briefly dead, but back and causing a ruckus once again. Here's to Bella, the life of her own funeral party. The life of her own funeral party, indeed.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy
Troy Murphy Show, it is for you. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. and then online all week long. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Troy Murphy Show here on the Sutherland Shire radio station, 2SSR FM 99.7. Now, as you know, each week here on The Troy Murphy Show, we love to put our serious hats on and take a look at some of the big news stories that broke during the week. Now, this is something I thought would never, ever happen. Did you see the news? In the upcoming referendum for the Indigenous Voice to Parliament, support has now dropped below a majority on the yes or no question. Unbelievable. I never thought that would happen. I have forever said here on the program that I always thought that the yes would win and would always have favour, but a new poll and the latest figures show a decline from 53 to 49%, making it the third consecutive month of decreased support for the proposal. Voters in three states, Queensland, Western Australia, and South Australia, are now leaning towards the no case when asked about the federal government's proposed question. Now, according to an exclusive survey conducted by Resolve Strategic for the Sydney Morning Herald publication, support for The Voice stands at 56% in Victoria and 53% in New South Wales. However, these figures are outweighed by significant swings against the reform in states that could impede it from achieving the required threshold of a majority of votes in a majority of states. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has dismissed calls to amend the Voice proposal ahead of the Senate vote on the referendum bill. This solidifies the plan for a public vote later this year. Now, the survey commissioned by Resolve Strategic reveals that 42% of voters support The Voice, while 40% oppose it, and an additional 18% remain undecided. That was the first question asked in this poll. Do you support, do you not support or oppose, or are you undecided? Three options were given, but that's not how a referendum works. Referendums work by only giving the option of a yes or no. So when the respondents were presented with a second question that only allowed a yes or no response, mirroring the format of the referendum, 49% expressed support. So up from 42%. While 51% opposed it, up from 40%. The Resolve survey is the first major poll to show a majority in favour of the no side, something that is almost unbelievable. It's also the first to indicate that three states have shifted their position to oppose The Voice. The survey also reveals that although almost all voters are aware of The Voice, I can't believe some people aren't aware of The Voice, it's only what's been spoken about in the media for months and months or a year since the election, only 30%, this is shocking, 30% feel confident enough to explain to someone else what the voice is, with speculation that the lack of understanding about the details of the proposal contributes to the increasing number of no votes as awareness spreads. Now, the strongest objectives and objections to the voice are found in Queensland, where only 44% of voters support it. South Australia followed with 48% in favour, while Western Australia sits at 49% support. Tasmania, where the voice holds majority support, is considered pivotal due to its small population's significant impact on the outcome. Now, although Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and the federal cabinet ministers express confidence in winning the vote, the survey indicates a decline in support for the voice among Labor voters. This is crazy news and an interesting find, according to the survey. In April, 75% of Labor voters were in favour of the voice. But this figure dropped to 69% in May and further decreased to 63% in June. 75% to 63%. Support among the Greens voters has remained stable at 81%, while the coalition voters have seen a decline from 30% in April to 26% in the latest survey, resulting in 74% of coalition voters opposing the voice. Now, the Resolve Political Monitor conducted the survey, polling 1,606 eligible voters regarding the government's proposed wording in the referendum bill. And even though this is a very tiny snapshot when compared to the population of Australia, the results have a margin of error of 2.4 percentage points, which exceeds the difference between the 51% support for the no side and 49% support for the yes side, highlighting the close nature of the political race leading up to the referendum scheduled for October or November this year. Now, while the national figures reported here are based on the survey conducted last week, the state-by-state results combine data from two surveys conducted in May and June to obtain a larger sample size for a majority of states. Interesting news indeed, as we cover the breaking news, the hard topics here on the Troy Murphy Show, to bring it to you so you know what's going on here across our Sutherland Shire and, of course, the country itself here in Australia. Plenty more coming up right after this.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
Stick around, because coming up next, we take a look at the latest victim of the cost of living crisis. Yes, you'll be surprised at exactly what it is, and then devastated when the reality of it all kicks in. But first, a quick look at what's on across the Sutherland Shire this week. Learn how to paint a landscape at the Hazelhurst Arts Centre. It's happening June 17 from 12 p.m. to 3. Be guided in the art of landscape painting in this workshop for beginner artists for ages 16 and over. It's $45 per person and bookings are essential. For more information, email hazelhurst@ssc.nsw.gov.au or call 85-36-5700.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SR 99.7 FM.
Sticking with the weird, wacky and wonderful news from around the world, well, actually from home this time, as we file this next segment under, here's another victim we can add to the list thanks to the cost of living crisis, and that item, potato chips. Yes, the good old beloved potato chip, as Aussies are finding themselves in a state of chip-induced befuddlement. Point in case, let's look at shopping placey thingy Coles. They've unleashed a snacking sensation that has left consumers scratching their heads and emptying their wallets. It seems that the days of scoring a bargain on potato chips are as distant as the hopes of finding a unicorn in your backyard. For this week, turn to social media platform TikTok, where user Leticia Malcolm Kuti, a brave soul who dared to challenge the status quo, took to the popular platform to express her disbelief at the outrageous pricing. Yes, she stumbled upon a mind-boggling offer of 2 packets of kettle chips for a whopping $11. Yes, you heard right, $11 for a couple of crispy bags that were once the humble price of $1.35. Has the world gone mad? Has it? Well, yes, it has. $11 for chips? No, thank you. Now, this TikTok user, Letitia, she couldn't contain her astonishment and repeatedly interrogated the Coles employees, hoping, against all hope, that this was just a printing mistake when they did the labels. Alas, her hopes were dashed as she discovered that the price was indeed legitimate. Let's take a listen to that audio now.
Ask the guy at Coles 6 times if this is right. Check this out. 2 packets of chips for $11. I thought maybe it's wrong. Next one. 2 packets of chips for $11. Since when? What happened to the $1.35 chips? Anyway, I spoke to him. He goes, it's not wrong. It's the price. I seriously think Coles has messed up. Does anybody want to, like, talk about what's going on here?
Quite the scandal, quite the scandal indeed. Now, Snacks Brands Australia, the parent company responsible for Kettle, CC's, Cheezels and Thins, well, they attempted to justify the price hike. They cited rising manufacturing costs, including the dreaded gas prices that apparently are going off the charts at the moment because of, you know, supply, demand and cost of living in probably Ukraine, of which the company had no choice but to pass on these exorbitant costs to consumers. Now, the prices of crucial ingredients like corn and potatoes have also skyrocketed, leaving the company with no other option but to dig deeper into our pockets. Yes. Now, the CEO of Snack Brands Australia claims that the price increase is necessary to preserve the jobs of over 600 employees. $11, is that worth buying chips just to save a few employees? Probably. I love chips. So, dear chip aficionados, brace yourself for the era of expensive snacking. No longer will you be able to indulge in the simple pleasure of crunching on a budget. The days of carefree chip consumption are behind us, replaced by a world where a bag of chips costs as much as a small island in the Pacific. We can only hope that sanity will one day prevail and future generations will once again revel in the joy of affordable snacking. Bright side though, you know I do like to look on the bright side. We all might lose some weight after, you know, COVID, all the weight we put on back there. Either that or we can start using potato chips as a form of currency. I do hope that they come with a side of dip when we exchange them for goods and services. Indeed.
Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Stick around because coming up next here on TTMS, we take a look at the most un-Australian thing ever. And it's growing in popularity. You won't believe what it is, but here's a hint. It's all the millennials and Gen Z's fault. Stay tuned to find out what this un-Australian thing is. But first, a quick look at the news that broke across the Southern Shire this week. Motorists are being informed about upcoming changes in traffic conditions on the Princess Highway at Loftus due to essential drainage and vegetation work. The work will be conducted next to Lincoln Oval over a period of up to 20 shifts, starting from Sunday, June 18 and ending on Thursday, August 10. The work will take place from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m, excluding Friday and Saturday nights, depending on weather conditions. To ensure the safety of workers and road users, temporary lane closures, traffic controls and reduced speed limits will be implemented. For the latest traffic updates, download the Live Traffic New South Wales app or visit livetraffic.com or contact 132 701.
And that's the news that broke this week across the Sutherland Shire.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under It's Quite Un-Australian. That indeed is what it is. As the alcohol-free beer industry, you heard that correct, alcohol-free beer industry is experiencing a boom like none other. And it's all thanks to millennials and Gen Zers. Yes, just another thing we can finger point and blame them for. Alcohol consumption. Yes, it's dying. Because of millennials and Gen Zers who have apparently had one too many hangovers. It's the classic case of, I'll have a beer, but make it non-alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Now, whilst overall alcohol consumption in Australia has hit rock bottom, the sales of non-alcoholic beer is soaring to new heights. It turns out that these young folks are not necessarily going sober, they're just cutting back on their alcohol intake. Now, according to a study by IWSR Drinks Market Analysis, a whopping 78% of non-alcoholic beer consumers still indulge in full-strength alcohol. So it's more like they're taking a bit of a detour on their way to Hangoverville. And the parent company for Dan Murphy's and BWS, which is practically a pilgrimage site for booze enthusiasts, well, they've reported that 1 in 10 customers have purchased a low or zero alcohol product in the past year. 1 in 10! 1 in 10! And there's a beer company, well, they've jumped on the bandwagon. Let's not keep dropping names because, you know, that whole incidental advertising thing that we're not supposed to be doing, stating that their sales of non-alcoholic beer have tripled in just 3 years. Who would have thought that making money out of responsible drinking could have been so lucrative? Move aside, whiskey. There's a new profitable player in town indeed. Now, the non-alcoholic beer market in Australia is projected to keep thriving with an annual growth rate of 9.16%. This year alone, it's estimated to rake in a staggering $289 million in revenue. It's a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, that has us all scratching our heads wondering, is this really life? Who drinks alcohol, like beer, not to get drunk? Does beer, do people enjoy the taste of beer that much that they would have it without alcohol in it? That's the question that really needs to be asked of millennials and Gen Zers. I tell you what. So, I don't know what's going on, but let's just raise our glasses filled with non-alcoholic beer because, of course, to the millennials and Gen Zers who are changing the drinking landscape one sober sip at a time, cheers to responsible choices and free from hangover induced mornings. Who needs alcohol to have a good time where you can just pretend to be drunk to save yourself from the embarrassment of dancing on tables and confessing your love to random strangers? Bottoms up with a twist.
Crazy and insane-y, it's delirious but brainy, tastes a little gamey, the Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck, you just can't stop listening.
So turn the radio dial on, Thursday night is 7 from, we're gonna put the ray on, the Troy Murphy Show.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week.
thank you for tuning in, my friends. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. Now, if you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the live program guide that you can find on the 2SSR.com.au website. Until next week, bye for now.